All right, open your Bible to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Before I get started, I want to say once again a huge thank you for all of those who sacrificed and volunteered and helped and worked for Vacation Bible School this last week. God used your labor in a great way, and you made a difference. We had attendance way up this year versus last year. We had 8 children that were saved and 4 adults that were saved in the program on Friday, and you made a difference. I remember sitting down with a little girl coming to me, telling me about getting saved, and I asked her, you know, if you were to die now, where would you go? And that smile on her face as she said, heaven. You know, that makes every bit of showing up and painting signs and cleaning and moving those tables this way, moving the tables back and setting up and practicing those lessons and setting up with the game and the store and the snacks and all the fun things you did and the skits and all the stuff you did, it makes it all worth it. Every minute you guys put in absolutely made a difference. And I'm so thankful this church, that it's not just a couple of people, that's our thing, that's the whole church, that everyone gets behind the Vacation Bible School every year, and it makes a huge difference. A lot of parents bring their kids, and they feel very safe because of the amount of helpers that we have and the organization this year. I mean, with the security team and everything was so... It went so well because so many people just saw what needed to be done and did it, and everyone was working hard and doing their part. It was fantastic. Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough, and you made a difference for the cause of Christ. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, we have Jesus and his apostles, and they just crossed the lake. Mark chapter 8, verse 14. Now, the disciples had forgotten to take bread. They didn't bring their food with them, right? They weren't planning ahead. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, this is Jesus talking to them, he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. So here Jesus is giving them this powerful and important spiritual warning, teaching an extremely important doctrinal truth, and in such a powerful way that allows for a difficult topic to resonate and be remembered, saying, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Another time, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And this is a shocking. It really shows what he's talking about here, because in another place, of course, he mentions it, that the leaven of we're talking about the doctrine, the teaching of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And in another place in the Bible, he clearly specifies the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. And he's teaching about this dangerous and like leaven, like yeast, multiplying in a piece of bread. In a high school science class, you might take a little bit of yeast and you put it in some sugar water on the microscope and watch it multiply. And of course, a little bit of yeast, you put it in a loaf of bread and it'll multiply throughout the whole thing, right? And make it rise and it'll spread. They understood this. They understood more about biology back then than we give them credit. And beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And it's really striking because it's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And that might be lost on us because they all kind of sound the same. But, I mean, those were polar opposites when it came to teaching. So he's saying to beware of the teaching of, that's like saying beware of the teaching of the conservatives and the liberals. Beware of the politics of the Democrats and the Republicans. Wait a minute. Wait, aren't they opposite? So it's such a noticeable warning because this is something that they both get wrong. Two opposites, because you think, well, I'm not teaching you the stuff they're teaching. Hold on, if they're teaching opposite things and yet they both get contaminated with the same doctrine, this teaching, this habit of hypocritical teaching, boy, is it hugely possible that can contaminate us. And what an important, powerful, and they needed this warning as these apostles were going to be going and starting churches around the world and really reaching the world for Christ, and they were establishing doctrine, establishing the church, writing the scriptures. Boy, they needed to beware. It's so easy for them to become hypocrites, for them to fall into the exact same rut as these other political and doctrinal camps of their day. Boy, that was a needed message and such a timely message, and they needed to remember that, and they needed that conviction. And they needed to set that, you know what, yes, we will always be. But they didn't get the message at all. Jesus taught them that, and they're like, oh yeah, We'll bring food next time. Whoa. You missed the whole thing. Wrong answer, right? I mean, imagine here they're getting off the ship here, and all right, they're all excited. We're going to minister here on the other side of Galilee, and okay, I got the scriptures here. You got the extra jacket, okay? You got the who's got the food? Mark, you got no. Matthew has it. No, it's John. No. Oh well, Andrew's like, well, I got some leftover from breakfast. You know, we got one. That's it. We've got 12 apostles. How many other disciples with us? Jesus. Which one of you guys wants to go to Jesus and tell him we forgot to pack lunch and all we've got is one piece of bread? You know, and they're all worried. Oh man, we're gonna be in such trouble. Jesus is gonna. Oh man, he's gonna reprimand us so bad for being so forgetful, for not being prepared. You know, you worry about this stuff. You know, like I come in today. You know, I'm like, relax, pastor's not here. You know, a little less stressed. And then my college professor shows up. You know, like the guy that taught me Bible doctrines and stuff. Like one of my favorite teachers. Oh man, okay, pressure's back on. You know, boy, if I mess up this morning, you know, tonight. Oh boy, he can let me know how I interpreted the scriptures wrong. Oh boy, you know. Well, they were all nervous. You know, oh, Jesus is gonna get. Oh, you know, we forgot this is it. He's gonna see this and be like, you know. We'll just pretend we're all fast, okay? We'll just go, hey, just yeah, we already ate. Here you go, Jesus, and give him the one piece. You know, we're going light. We're trying to, you know, we figured, you know, the whole, yeah, everyone giving us food all the time, you know, we're trying to lose weight. So we're all one piece of bread, piece. We already ate. I don't know what they're thinking, right? They're all worried about this. I'm like, oh, here it comes. Jesus comes up, and he's really about to talk to them. You can see it. They can see it in his eyes. You know, he's got something really important to go. Like, oh, boy, here it comes. He's gonna reprimand us for not being prepared, for our lack of diligence. And Jesus gives him an extremely important doctrine, extremely important spiritual truth they will need the rest of their lives. And they're like, yep, there he comes. Oh, he said leaven. Leaven is what's in bread. He's talking about the bread. That's how deep their interpretation of what Jesus said was. He said leaven. Leaven is yeast, you know, Yep, he's talking about the bread. And then pay attention to his words. I mean, how does that even make sense? I mean, try to work out the logic here, okay? They got one piece of bread, right? And here they are. And Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. I mean, how does this logically work, you know? How is that a reprimand for not bringing bread? I mean, is this going to be like, okay, Jesus is worried that we're going to be sitting here trying to make some bread really fast, and King Herod's going to sneak up with a handful of yeast and just toss it in the bread and run away. Ha! Oh, you should have watched him, man. He contaminated. I mean, really? That makes no sense. It makes no sense that because they forgot bread, they have to worry about Pharisees and Herod putting leaven in their bread. It doesn't when you make sense when you think about it. So why did they get it wrong? And that's what Jesus asked. So Jesus continues. And when Jesus knew it, he said saith unto them, he knew that their reasoning, oh, it's because we don't have bread. It's because, you know, oh, we were unprepared. That's what he's saying. They completely missed the entire message. And so Jesus doesn't explain the message that they missed. That comes a completely different place in the Bible. He gives up on that message for the moment because now he's got to teach another message. And that's the message we're teaching tonight, by the way. Tonight, the sermon's entitled Missing the Point Because of a Loaf of Bread. So Jesus shifts gears because they completely missed the first one. Okay. Let's deal with what we got here. Let's deal with missing what the Bible is saying, missing what the preaching of God's word is saying because your mind's in the wrong place. And what is it because of a loaf of bread? I mean, here they are. Because of a loaf of bread, they completely missed a very valuable, convicting, and needed spiritual truth. Because of a piece of bread. And I got to ask myself, is there something tonight, Sunday, next Sunday morning, tomorrow morning when I open my Bible to do my devotions, something as stupid as a piece of bread that's going to keep me from understanding what the Bible says, what God is trying to say to me through his Holy Spirit. So Jesus says this. Now comes the real sermon they need, okay? When Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye, because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? I'm going to say a lot of whys there, okay? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Look, I thought you're supposed to be the apostles. You're supposed to be following me. You've seen miracle after miracle. You've heard me teach day after day after day. I understand the Pharisees, they have their heart hardened. Your heart is still hard? You're still like, and remember, he's been telling this parable, right? You're still like the wayside where the word of God is the seed and the ravens come and steal it away and you never understand. There's no understanding. There's no perception there in the word of God. And Satan immediately steals away the powerful truth from God's word that you needed in your heart to grow in your life and to make a difference. It's gone. That's you still with that hard heart. After all of this, you're my apostles and you... Again, he's asking questions. Notice how many question marks there are. I mean, you looked in your Bible, look at all those question marks. Right? Look at the next few verses there, 17 through 21. Look how many question marks there are. Jesus is asking a question, you know? I remember something about Bible college, a certain college professor that would ask the questions more than just tell me, and then I have to think. Oh, that's what Jesus is doing here. He's making us think. He's asking these questions, right? Because you have no bread, perceive not, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, ye see not? Hello, you know? What's going on? You can't see what is it? You have eyes, they're not working here. Having ears, ye hear not? And do ye not remember? Uh-oh, here it comes. When I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments tick ye up? It's test time. Let's see if you can remember. They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? How is it that ye do not understand? Question mark. He leaves it with a question mark. He doesn't answer the question. Why does he ask a question and not answer it? Because he wants them to think. He wants them to think, why is it that I don't understand? What kept me? What was it about this loaf of bread that kept me from understanding the words of Jesus Christ? And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to take a few minutes and think about, and I'll propose 3 things that you know, this could be from the text there. I'm not making them up, but and there might be a few others, because again, Jesus wants us to think about this. Let's think about what it is. We need to understand this. I mean, it's in the Bible here. We need to understand what was the reason why they didn't understand. And we need to apply it to ourselves. We need to ask ourselves, what's the reason why I don't understand? Had there been times I've been sitting there and I thought I understood, they thought they understood. They're like, oh, yep. Oh, that's right. Okay, I'll get right with God. I confess. I was not prepared for ministry today. I should have brought more bread. It's my fault, God. Please forgive me. No, you missed the message completely. Oh, have there been times that was you? And the preacher's preaching, and you said amen, and you missed the message completely. You read in your Bible exactly what God wanted you to have that day. Well, God wanted you to change in your life, and because of something as trivial as a piece of bread, you didn't get the message at all. You thought you did, but you didn't. Sometimes we get that, you know, like reading the Bible, you know, the little Bible's like, oh, okay, well, this is what the Bible said. This is what I got from that passage. Okay, that doesn't always work, right? The question is, it's not what did I get from that passage, it's what was God saying in that passage is actually the question, right? We have a couples class every Sunday morning, and maybe I should probably incorporate questions and more interactive things, but you know what I don't do, and I don't apologize for not doing this, is read the passage and just go around, okay, everyone in the small group, share, how did that speak to you? Because the question isn't, how did that speak to me? But how does God want to speak to me? Not what did I get from that? Because all right, Peter, How did that parable from Jesus, how did that speak to you? Oh, well, it told me I need to be more prepared next time with food. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. That is not, you got it wrong. I know that it spoke to you that way, but that is not what God was trying to tell you. And there are times when I think, oh yeah, I got something good from, that was good and I needed that, and it is not what I needed. And it is not what God was trying to say. And there was something else in the way, something as silly as this, that kept me from hearing what God actually wanted me to hear from the Word of God that day. And so let's think about what that might be. I'm thinking about it because Jesus left the passage. It's the end of the passage. Next thing, they go on to Bethsaida, okay? This is the end of the passage. It leaves with a question mark. So let's think about it. Let's look at the story here. Let's look at these apostles. What might be the reason? What might be the reason why they missed the point because of a piece of bread? Number one, I can easily miss the point when we focus on the carnal, the temporal, the things, the physical things of this world, when God is talking about something much more important. We focus on food and what am I going to eat in the next 5 minutes that's going to sustain my body. And Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God and what he's going to do for the next 2,000 years. And what are we going to eat in the next 2 hours? What was on their mind? They focused on the carnal, and they missed it. And we do this. We talk about sometimes we try to spiritualize things that are not spiritual. But here's the big, one of the big problems. When I'm listening to preaching, I can very easily despiritualize stuff. If on my mind is something carnal, if my mind is consumed on something very temporary, very, very temporal, in other words, just about this time right now, not something eternal, not something of the kingdom of God, of the importance of what Christ is trying to do, but I'm focused on something simple and physical, and something that I want right now, maybe how I feel right now, what I want right now, something carnal, and then I sit there and despiritualize. So I take something that is speaking of a spiritual, important thing in my life, and I make it something about trivial and the carnal life. So for example, maybe many people have heard maybe preaching from Jesus saying, oh, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. They're like, oh yeah, he's talking about treasure. You know what he's talking about? Sound investment practices. You know, I gotta make sure I invest in the right. No, wrong answer. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about how you get wealthy on this earth. He's talking about forget about wealthy on this earth. Think about the souls in heaven because of you. We're talking about the kingdom of God, where your heart ought to be on Jesus Christ, seated in the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. Not on, I gotta make sure my investment portfolio is wise and maybe am I investing in the right things. No, I don't care that that's what you got out of the passage. It's not there, okay? Or when we're talking about the importance of the gospel and salvation. Many times there was a popular movement a while back, you know, like, okay, when you get people saved in the gospel, and they kind of redefine the gospel to be, oh, like, the social gospel. Have you heard of this, where it was the whole, like, thing, oh, this is what the church, it's important for the church, is for us to do social programs and help the poor. Now, should we do that? That's an outpouring of the love of Christ in us. Of course we help the poor and the needy. That doesn't replace the gospel. So we're hearing something preached about, oh, getting the gospel to everyone, and we're thinking like, oh yeah, we gotta make sure we help the people in Africa learn how to farm better, and we gotta help the. I mean, those are good things, but that's not missions. That's not getting the gospel out. So we can read one passage and it's about something way more important, the eternal work of God in saving souls. And we make it about, like, we're making sure we're taking care of food, and we're making sure we're taking care of this, right? Like we're talking about maybe we're talking about spiritual gifts. This one I don't know, maybe it's a pet peeve, but people talk about their spiritual gifts, and we're talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. And oh yeah, I know. We have different personalities. You know, no, it's not talking about personality traits, right? We're talking about the Holy Spirit of God moving in us. Not I'm a little bit more of an introvert, and so maybe that's my spirit. No. Wrong answer. You're not following what the Bible is saying here. We're talking about when I say that the Holy Spirit of God inside me, enabling me to do above which I am able, right? or we can de-spiritualize a lot of stuff. A lot of false doctrines came from this, right? So like there's a physical thing. God puts a physical, like the idea of leaven, right? That's a physical, tangible thing that's illustrating a spiritual truth, something that's hard to understand. And if we're just focused on the carnal things, then we're just going to focus on the illustration itself and not the actual message, right? So like baptism, like in the first century in the New Testament church, whenever someone got saved, they got baptized, right? So that was the mark of how many people got saved in your church. Well, you couldn't see that. I mean, you couldn't tangibly see what was happening inside people's souls, but you could saw how many people got baptized, and everyone that got saved got baptized immediately. And so that, well, eventually the problem is that became the focus. The physical thing that was the sign that was that this is the identification with Christ, and instead it replaced the actual thing to where, oh well, we want our kids to go to heaven, let's baptize babies. Right now, all of a sudden we're teaching false doctrine and we're leading people away from the gospel because what we've taken something and just kind of like because we're focusing what just on the physical, right? We do that sometimes because we love the things of this world, right? The Bible says, love not the things of this world, right? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world passeth away. And I got to ask myself, if I'm coming to church and what I'm getting out of church is how to live my life better, how to have my best life now sort of a thing, right? If I come here and this is a great help, a self-help session for me, then I'm missing it all. If every day you just figure out, oh, this is going to help me at work, and this helps overcome my bad habits, and I'm going to be a more successful person, I have a more positive outlook on life because of that sermon today, you are missing what the sermons are all about. All right? It's not about, I mean, now, absolutely God takes care of his children, and he loves to bless his children. And as you're following him for his cause, he does bless his people. But sometimes, you know, Christianity is not about that. Sometimes it's about being ripped to shreds by lions in the Colosseum, okay? It's not always about living comfortable lives. And it's not about, if every application to the preaching is, oh, this is going to help me run my everyday carnal life, then you're missing 99% of what's being said from this pulpit. You're missing it. The little piece of bread that I can enjoy right now is getting in the way. Right, and sometimes it's, of course, greed. Sometimes I want more. Remember, Jesus was even talking about the illustration of the bread, and they all keep, oh, can you show me a sign? Right, like, oh, what's a good sign? Oh yeah, I remember when Moses, because this is after he did the bread thing, the multiplying the bread. Like, hey, remember Moses did this sign, like where you know bread came out of heaven. Hint, hint, wink, wink. You think we can get a free lunch out of this? And. Jesus, no, I'm the bread that cometh down from heaven. They didn't like that. They didn't like that. They weren't paying attention. He was talking about their eternal soul. I mean, we're talking about being saved from hell, and they were thinking about lunch, all right? And I got to ask myself, am I coming into church thinking, what can I get out of this for me to enjoy today better? I'm probably going to miss a whole lot of what's being said from this pulpit. I'm going to miss a whole lot of what I read from the Word of God. Sometimes it's our worries. Sometimes it's not greed over something. It's I'm worrying. They were worried about where would that, what are we going to do now? We only got one piece of bread. 12, I mean, this is some, we got Jesus plus 12 apostles plus, oh man, this bread is not going to go very far. They're worried, what are we going to do? How are we going to do this? How are we going to solve this problem? And what you come into church, you come to the Word of God, and you're worried about something that you should be trusting God for. And it makes you miss what the Bible is saying very easily. And Jesus spent a lot of time talking about this. Remember when he said, no man can serve two masters? Matthew 6. Either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. All right? It's either the piece of bread or the Word of God. You got to choose between the two. I jump down here a little. O ye of little faith, where therefore take you no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall I be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought, therefore, for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I've got to warn myself. I've got to remember, when I come into church, I'm ready to hear the Word of God. If I sit in there obsessing worries over how am I going to pay the bills tomorrow, it's going to cause me to misinterpret, to miss a powerful spiritual truth that I need from God's word that's way more important than the bills tomorrow. So I need to come into church and I need to take it, maybe just get into the habit of taking a second maybe come down to this altar right before the church starts. Cast those cares on him, that stuff you're worrying about. Give it to God, pray about it. Help God, allow God to clear that from your mind so that you can think clearly about what the Word of God is saying. Let's make a habit of that when you come to read the Scriptures in the morning. Otherwise, you're going to read Scriptures and you're going to be applying them to what you're worrying about. But here's the thing. What you're worrying about isn't necessarily what God is trying to do next in your life. Now, sometimes it is. Sometimes he puts something in your life so that it gets your attention and you worrying about it kind of gets your... But not always. Sometimes you're worried about something that he already has a plan to take care of. He wants you to give it to him, pray about it, get over it, and focus on some other area of spiritual growth over here. And I'm stuck on that worry. I'm stuck on the carnal things, and I can't get the spiritual stuff. And even a seasoned Christian, even an apostle that's been walking with God, can end up with that hardened heart, or at least the same effect as a hardened heart. Maybe it's just a momentary distraction, something as simple as a piece of bread. Number two, I can miss what God is saying. I can miss the point for a loaf of bread when we focus on ourselves. So yes, they were focused on carnal things, the piece of bread. But you know what? They were focused on the fact that they forgot the piece of bread. You catch that? They weren't focused on the fact that Jesus needs a piece of bread. They weren't focused on the fact that, hey, there are people out there that need bread. We need to get it to them. No, they weren't focused on the fact that they didn't have bread because I forgot it. You say, oh, that's humility. That's self-introspect. You know what that is? That's obsession with self. They were focused on themselves. They weren't focused on Jesus and what he was trying to say. Because they were focused on, oh, man, what am I going to do? How am I going to answer him? They're so sure he's going to reprimand them for not bringing bread, they're thinking about, how can I save face? How can I answer? The entire focus is right here. When I come in the church, I come to the Word of God, and my focus is on here instead of on here instead of on here, I'm going to miss the whole thing. How do we get our focus on ourselves, right? Notice this. When it comes to not being about, not being about ourselves. Sometimes we think it's about our own inadequacies. It's about me because look, I'm not good enough, and so Christ can't do something because you're not good enough. Help me understand the logic of that, right? A little kid that gets upset. Oh, I can't do it. Daddy's actually picking you up and putting you up there. Doesn't matter that you can't reach it. Daddy's holding you up. Right? Like Moses, right? The famous story. Moses is there. God calls him at the burning bush. You know what I'm talking about? And Moses said to the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto them, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? If you're focused on your inadequacies, like, oh, I'm not good enough, it's this, I've got this issue, and I've got this, this is the reason I can't do something for the Lord. And I'm focused on that, and every single thing, the Bible is giving you promises of God, and God is trying to convict you on things that you ought to be doing for him. And every time you dismiss that and you misinterpret that, okay, yeah, someone who's better than me ought to do that. Someone who's better than me ought to go soul winning. Someone who's better than me ought to go be a missionary to this other country. Someone who's better than me ought to fix this problem in the church. Someone's better at praying than me ought to pray about this need. And you pull, here's all the preaching of God's word, but I'm focused on my own inadequacies. Oh, but I'm the one that forgot the bread. So obviously, I don't need to worry about the whole like dealing with doctrine and stuff like that. I need the message on not forgetting bread. No, God wants to give you the message that he's trying to give you, not the one that you are focusing on yourself think you need. Look, it's not about your reputation. But they're worried about, I'm going to look stupid here. You know, I forgot the bread. Right? Sometimes we want to inflate our reputation, like Simon, remember who tried to bribe Peter into giving him the power of the Holy Ghost, right? Thy money perish with thee, and Peter completely rebukes him, right? Look, when it comes to this, look, look at this, of course, Gideon is another example, right? Judges 6, you know the story. God's calling Gideon to save the people, and the Lord looked on him and said, "Go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites," right? What is Gideon's answer, right? "Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. I'm a nobody. God, you can't, he's not receiving what God is telling him to do because he thinks of his own inadequacies." Listen, Jesus was perfectly capable of reprimanding them for not being studious and planning ahead. And you know how Jesus would have done that? "Hey, guys, next time bring bread." Right? That's about it, right? I mean, there's no problem. Jesus is using these complex parables to deal with complex subjects, spiritual things, important things that he wants them to remember, like for the next 2,000 years, right? If it's something as simple as bread, Jesus can just say, "Hey, bring bread next time." Like, come on. Right? It's not that hard for Jesus. So in other words, we don't need, if you already know about the issue and stuff, you don't need the big spiritual message. The spiritual message is something else, okay? So you already clock into church already knowing I have a problem with this. Well, if it's something you're sinning against God, go ahead and make it right before the service, you know? But by the way, here's a secret. Like, there's no law against you coming to the altar before the service. Like, if you already know that's an issue, just deal with it then. And then your mind is not, now you're not dealing with the guilt of that, and you can just hear what the Bible has for you next, right? It's not compliment. Look, Jesus doesn't do the whole passive aggressive thing, right? Have someone that tries to reprimand you in that whole passive aggressive way, like, you know, just, you didn't show up in time, like, but we've been working so hard, oh man, we're tired now, instead of just saying, "Hey, you're late, where have you been, you slacker," right? They could have said that, and you'd much rather they said that, but instead they try to do the whole, like, you know, rubbing it in without rubbing it in, right? Nobody likes that. Jesus doesn't do that, okay? The Bible doesn't do that. If you, and by the way, your preacher doesn't do that, all right? You're sitting here in the pulpit. He's not sitting there targeting his message at you, okay? If you think that he went and wrote his whole message to be a subtle passive-aggressive attack on some inadequacy you have, you know, and you're going to go out in there in a huff because, "Oh, pastor's just trying to humiliate me in front of the whole church. He's dropping all these hints that..." No, he's not. He's preaching the word of God, what God put on his heart to preach, okay? If you're the one, you're missing what God put on his heart to preach because you're so focused on your little piece of bread. Sometimes when we hear a call from the word of God for us to do something for the Lord, we have this idea, because of me, you know, there's some kind of stigma associated with me. It says, I tell myself this, when God removes my stigma, then I can do something. So the preaching is coming this way, and I'm deferring it. Oh, yeah, I'll get to soul winning once I overcome this in my life. And, oh, I'll get to giving once I get past, you know, my debt problem. Oh, and I'll get to serving God once I organize my life. I'm just such a disorganized person, so I can't sign up for a ministry. And we shuffle all the things God is giving to us, and we shuffle them over here and saying, "God, fix me first." But I've got news. It's not about you. He's perfect. He doesn't need to fix anything with him. And you know, you might have some stigma on your life. And that doesn't stop you from doing what God is calling you to do. You know, there was this guy, Saul of Tarsus, and he had kind of a reputation, you know. He kind of killed people that disagreed with him. You know, this is the thing he did. And so it wasn't surprising. He had this, they were all, what? You know how long it was between Saul of Tarsus got saved and when he started preaching Christ? It was immediate. I mean, he was stuck with blindness for a few days. They prayed. He immediately went out and started preaching. Say, "Oh no!" But he had to get overcome that bad reputation. If he had to first prove himself, no, No, because he got others preaching and they took note of it. Hey, this is that guy that used to kill Christians, and now he's preaching for Christ. And guess what? Because it was all about Christ and it wasn't about him, that gave him more power to preach the gospel. You know what? Eventually that stigma wore off. And everyone knew him as the crazy preacher and not the guy that killed Christians. So God had to give him a new stigma. Read about it in the Bible. He gave him something wrong, probably with his eyes or something. He gave him some physical ailment because the stigma of persecuting Christians had worn off. And it wasn't about Paul. It was about Christ. And many times here we have teaching and convictions and what I need to learn and what I need to do for the Lord. And I'm not getting it because I'm focused on myself. Look, it's not about your feelings, right? Remember Jonah? How much he hated the Ninevites, right? Right? I mean, and fair enough, you know, you follow through where Jonah appears elsewhere in the Bible. I mean, he's prophesying what the Assyrians are going to do to his country and his people. So you can imagine the burden of being a prophet and seeing into the future. You see that a couple of times in the Bible, like Elisha seeing the future king of Syria and all the people he's going to kill. And then, like, I'm supposed to now crown him king. And, he's crying. You know, here's Jonah. Like, these people, if they just get burnt up with fire right now, if they'd not, I know it's for generations in the future, and you know it'll be their grandkids, but their grandkids are gonna murder my grandkids. Burn them now, you know. And he has this hatred towards the people of Nineveh, and he was, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Remember what God said, and God said, the Lord said, dost thou well to be angry? There's a powerful message. I mean, there's people getting saved. There's thousands of people that are not going to perish and go to hell because of him. But he's focused on his emotions, his hatred. Justified hatred, but hatred nonetheless. And those emotions are clouding him from here. And God has to get his attention. The whole thing with him, you know, the worm and the gourd and all that whole story was just God getting his attention because he missed the message the first time, Jesus told him, God told him, right? And that's the thing. Is my feelings, maybe it's towards somebody else, right? Maybe it's my opinion. Maybe I want to win an argument with somebody, right? Maybe, you know, I've got, it's me versus them. And I want to win that argument. And so that's clouding it all. Or maybe I'm angry at the preacher. I'm angry at someone else in the church, and that's just completely blinding me. I don't know what it is, but what is your piece of bread tonight? You can't go to the Word of God and get what He is trying to give you because of something else that you're allowing to cloud your judgment. So, all right, maybe it's just that you're focused on something carnal. Maybe you're focused on yourself. Jesus is asking these questions. Jesus knew it. He said to them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes ye see not, having ears ye hear not, do ye not remember? And that brings us to our third and final point. Sometimes we miss the point when we forget God's power. So Jesus gives him the quiz. Okay, I broke 5 loaves, right? Remember, we had 5, right? Remember, I mean, do the math here. We've got 12 plus Jesus, okay, and 1 loaf, okay? I know you guys are like fishermen, okay? You didn't go, you didn't get your PhD and all that kind of stuff, but I think you can handle this math. You've got 1 loaf of bread, there's 12 of you, okay? Now, let's think this through. When we had 5 loaves of bread, right, and we had 5,000, how many baskets left over did you have? Oh, 12. And a 7 among 4,000, how many baskets? Oh, 7. Right, you're not thinking this through. Now, look, again, you need to understand here, the apostles were not stupid, okay? It was not a lack of intelligence. It wasn't that they had bad reasoning skills, and that's why they missed. Sometimes we think that, like, okay, there's a deep truth in the Word of God, and I grab the shallow meaning and a shallow interpretation of it. We think that's because of our lack of intelligence. Well, first of all, the things are spiritually discerned, and the Holy Spirit of God can help you regardless of your intellectual level. But it's not the case. These are not unintelligent apostles. Okay, you're going to see what they do for the Lord here in the coming years. They turn the world upside down. Their ability to reason with the Jews and Gentiles all over the world of the truth of God's word. These are very intelligent men. Okay, that they're not. It's not an intellectual. It's not that they're not thinkers. It's not that they lack this deep education. I mean, what Jesus is saying is very simple. Very profound, very important, but it's not complicated. It doesn't take some sort of, so again, we're not missing these things because, oh, I'm not smart enough. No. There's something in the way. Their focus is on the wrong thing. Because their focus is on the wrong thing, they're missing what's obvious. A child could tell, okay, Jesus is saying, don't worry, watch out for Herod's leaven is not meaning make sure you bring bread next time, okay? These are very different things, and it doesn't take a genius to tell that. And so sometimes very smart people, very good Bible scholars, right? Read the Word of God because there's something else in there. But sometimes you know what it is? Unbelief. I'm glad for good Bible colleges, right? Because sadly, we know there's a lot of Bible colleges, seminaries in America today that the teachers don't believe the Bible. You say, well, that's ridiculous. No, yes. Don't believe the Bible at all. And they're teachers of the Word of God. But they don't believe that Moses actually led that many people out of Egypt. And they don't believe that he crossed the Red Sea. Oh, no, it was this little freshwater lake up north. It was only a few inches deep, you know, the Reed Sea. And because you know the Hebrew, they're really smart. I mean, they are smart. They know that, oh, yes, the Red Sea, that's Yom Suf in Hebrew, and that's actually, you know, but they didn't read on in the scriptures to where like Solomon makes a fleet of ships on the Yom Suf, the same word, and sails off to Africa to get gold. Like, did Solomon go to a tiny lake, a puddle in Egypt, and build a fleet of ships to sail off to Africa to get gold? It doesn't make any logical sense. But they are stuck on the fact that they do not believe that God does real miracles. So they cannot accept that God did a miraculous deliverance of the children of Israel to get around that fort that was there and get on up. No, it had to be something that was natural. It had to be something that you could explain away, oh, it was a windy day in a little puddle, you know? It was just by luck that, you know. This is, I love what Jesus said to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, the ones he's warning about their leaven, their doctrine, right? Jesus answered and said to them, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." So there's the two big things why I miss what the Bible's saying. I don't know the other stuff the Bible says, right? I don't know the scriptures. But straight up, I mean, the scripture is something that's very simple to know. It's because I don't know the power of God. So I see this and I see Christ born of a virgin. That doesn't work. It's a young lady. Maybe that word means something different. It can't be, right? Oh, well, these stories of David and all the back, that must be allegories or something, you know, these were legends, and, you know, they have some kind of spiritual meaning, you know. Oh, Jesus came back from the dead. Oh, yeah, kind of in a spiritual form. What about when it says that he ate with them? I don't know, maybe they added that later. And these are professors of theology at these big seminaries, and this is, you're going to be really smart and know the Bible. You listen to them, but they err, not knowing the scriptures, neither the power of God. And the fact is, they say, so wait a minute, did the apostles not know God was powerful? Of course they knew, right? These two miracles had just happened. They just saw Jesus take pieces of bread and split them and feed thousands of people, okay? They knew of the power of God. So it's not a question, oh yeah, I believe in God. Yes, we all believe in God here. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be in church tonight, right? Unless you're, I don't see anyone here that's just here to mock me or something, you know. Like, you're all here because you believe in the power of God. But is it possible that we forget? Isn't that what Jesus said? And do ye not remember? So, come on. If Brother Lester gave me a test right now, I'd be able to answer the questions, right? You know, did Jesus walk on water? Yes, I got it, right? I mean, this is easy test, you know. I got this, right? I still know. I still know. I, That's not what it's saying when it says forget, right? You get it? We're not saying like if I was asked a question on a test, I couldn't answer the right answer. Of course I can answer the right answer. But I'm not thinking about it right now. At this moment, I'm focused on the piece of bread, and I'm not thinking about the miracles God just did. I'm thinking about my carnal limitations, and I'm not thinking about the power of Almighty God. When it comes to faith, it's not just what I know, what I can answer correctly on a test. It's how I'm thinking about every situation that comes my way. How do I respond? Do I respond in faith, or do I respond in my own strength? What can I do to stretch this bread? You know, maybe I'll go on Pinterest. There'll be one of those little fancy meals that you can just take a tiny little piece of bread and decorate it up, and yeah, that'll work. No, I have the power of God. Why do I need that? Like I mentioned, spiritual gifts is one. We hear that we are preaching, right? And we hear preaching like from Romans 12. Having then gifts differing according to the grace given unto you, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to our proportion of faith. Like, oh, yeah. Yeah, the pastor's talking about, you know, I have a certain personality and I have some natural gifts and abilities, you know. Giving, right? Okay, that's, you know, those are the people in church that they have good incomes, you know, their gift is giving. And you know, teaching, okay, those are the people with really great intellect, you know. No, wrong answer. Completely wrong. That's not what it's saying at all. Gifts differing is talking about spiritual gifts. If you're thinking, I'm going to plug into where I'm using my spiritual gift and you're just using your natural abilities, you're missing the whole point. We're talking about God enabling you to do something that is beyond your natural abilities. Now, it may be that God has given you a spiritual gift that's very much in harmony with your personality and temperament and so forth. Yeah, that's good because it's kind of frustrating to do things that are very much against your personality, right? If you don't like public speaking, now God has definitely done that a few times where he's gone ahead and picked someone that their temperament, they like Moses, does not like public speaking. Guess what? You're the most important public speaker in history. But he can do that to show his strength. But so it might be that your natural personality aligns with your spiritual gift, but it might not be. But your spiritual gift is God enabling you to do something that you cannot do. If you say, I'm using my spiritual gift and you're using your natural abilities, you missed the whole point. You don't know the power of God. Then you hear preachers talking about, let's outreach, let's go soul winning, let's try to reach this community, let's reach York County for Christ. And we're here's in our lack of faith. Again, we know in our mind, we know the histories of stories of revivals in the past. And again, I was being quizzed by my college professor here, like, oh, yeah, okay, Jonathan Edwards, Great Awakening, yeah, that happened. Acts, you know, Day of Pentecost, you know, miracle. I could list it all, right? You know, I know about the power of God. I know all about the power of God. But then when I hear someone preaching about, you know, well, we want to see more souls come to this church, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah. Yeah, so like there's some other good Christians out there that maybe they're looking for a church. Maybe they just moved into the area. You know, maybe they left another church locally and hopefully they'll come and visit and a really nice family with nice, well-behaved kids will come and visit. They'll like our church and our church will grow. Church growth, that's what we're talking about, right? No, wrong answer. Completely wrong answer. We're talking about someone down the street that hates God and blasphemes his name every day. He's got I Love Satan tattooed on his forehead, the pride flag tattooed on this arm and something I can't even talk about tattooed on this arm. And they're addicted to every kind of drug stuck into their system, and they got every kind of sinful sex addiction you can imagine. We're talking about them hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and coming to the foot of the cross and trusting Christ as their Savior and being just as saved as you are and having the power of God in their life and finding their spiritual gift and being an incredibly valuable member of this church. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the lost. Those going to hell. Those that we think would never want to come to church. That's what we're, if you're thinking, oh, we want to see the church grow, and you're thinking, oh, find all the good Christians that used to go to other churches. No! I mean, sure, we're glad they're here. I mean, absolutely, if you're someone moves in the area and they need a good church, this is a great one. I mean, if you don't, this is a fine church. There's another fine one down. I mean, wherever you were in the morning, there's great other good churches too. The fact of the matter is we need to reach the lost. That's what the power of God does. For I'm not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. Everyone, right? Everyone that believeth. So if you've forgotten the power of God when you hear preaching on missions or outreach, and you're thinking something completely different. And then I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Yeah, I hear about like reaching souls. That's for those preachers, right? Yeah, we got to reach souls. So I'm glad we have a pastor, three assistant pastors, and they go out. So yeah, they're going to win lots of people for Christ. Yeah, we got to reach the lost and the uttermost. I'm glad we have those missionaries we support. They're gonna reach the world. I'm so glad we have those guys that are so good at soul winning and they know the Romans role. Yeah, we got that. Good. Okay, great. Praise. Wrong answer. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about you going to someone who's on their way to hell and sharing with them what God did in your heart and giving them the gospel of Jesus. You. Not a missionary, not a pastor, not a Bible college president. You. But it is the power of God. Have you forgotten? And it was, well, God can't use me. I'm slow of tongue. I'm slow of speech, right? There's that focus on me again, right? Read the scriptures. Jesus just had to quiz them on the miracles they just seen. But you've got way more miracles than that in the Bible. Do you believe it? Do you believe that he parted the Red Sea? If so, when it comes to going soul winning, why are you afraid of getting sprayed on by someone's sprinkler? Right? He stopped the mouths of lions. I'm afraid of that barking dog, so I'm not going to knock on that door. Paul bravely stood before Caesar and proclaimed the gospel, and I'm afraid of some community college professor, right? He cleansed a man of leprosy, and I'm afraid of a bus kid with jelly on their hands. Right? He called Abraham to be the father of many nations, and I'm too afraid to sit down with my own kids and talk to them about the things of God. He rose from the dead, conquered death, and promised you eternal life. But you don't have enough time in your schedule to go out and share the gospel with someone else. The question is this. Having ears, ye hear not, and do ye not remember? You hear the preaching. But is there some little loaf of bread that's keeping me from trusting in the power? Victory over sin. Look, we have this addictions recovery program, the Bridge to Victory and stuff. Right? If they come there and they're not convinced that God can give them victory over sin, you can go through all your 10 core principles all day long. The first one, they'll not get it. The second one, they'll not get it. The third one, they will not. Not one of those principles will make any sense to them. They'll make a must sense. It's Jesus talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, and they're thinking about bread. If you don't come first with faith, if you don't first trust, if you don't believe that God can give you victory over your sin, again, you're hearing, oh, God's going to give you victory in your life, and then it goes through your filter of a lack of little faith. You know, it squeezes through the little faith gate in your heart, and it comes out the other side. Oh, you know, I can reduce my usage a little bit of this habit, and you know, I can do a little better in this area. Maybe, you know, maybe I can feel better about, you know, where I'm at. You know, maybe I can make a plan for the no victory. We can have victory over our sin. We can live in victory over over an addiction, over an old habit. For if these things be in you and abound and make you, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, for that he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And just as much as they forgot that Jesus had divided the bread, have you forgotten the day you kneeled at the foot of the cross and had your sins forgiven? And now here you're facing another temptation and you're trying to go forward and you think, I can't do it. And you hear the preaching and you don't apply it as I actually can actually really have victory in my life. But instead you just see it as, oh, well, maybe I can do a little better. Maybe I can look a little better. Maybe I can cope a little bit more. When God is promising you the power of God on your life. So Jesus finished with his question. And he said unto them, How is it that ye do not understand? So now we've come to the end and we have to ask ourselves the question, how is it that I don't understand? What's my loaf of bread? What is it? Maybe it's something my focus has been on, the things of this day, the what shall I eat, what shall I drink? And I come to each sermon and I come to the Word of God just thinking about carnal things, and I miss all the spiritual applications that God has for me. Maybe it's I'm so focused on myself, whether it's my pride or my inadequacies, it doesn't matter. It's still focused on myself either way. I'm so worried about what is he going to say about the fact that I left my bread behind? Or what is Pastor going to step on my toes today that I miss the message of hope that comes from God's Word that day? All right, and you come to your Bible tomorrow morning. And yes, I know about the power of God, but perhaps I've forgotten about the power of God. Perhaps I'm not thinking about it in that moment. Whatever it is, whatever the distraction is, and in this case, it was a simple loaf of bread. They were all excited and thinking about the miracles. And all those miracles, they come to the other side of the sea, and that sudden distraction caused them to suddenly forget all those miracles. And now here came the next bit of spiritual truth, and it wasn't received with faith. And he said, O ye of little faith. So what's your piece of bread? I don't know what it is. I've thought about things that probably are keeping me from hearing the truth. Maybe I'm going through the Word of God and God is speaking to me. His Word is perfect. And I'm not some heathen with a hardened heart, but then he's asking them, do you still have that hardened heart? It's not all the time. Maybe you come and the Word of God speaks to you one Sunday, but the next Sunday, something happened in the parking lot. You got angry at that one other person. Now there's that distraction. And now you don't get it at all. So I've got to ask myself, am I missing the whole point of God's Word because of a little piece of bread?